near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and thoughts higher than yours, your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Michael, the way you speak, that's how I think God speaks, but in Spanish. You know? So anyway, let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity that we have to gather here and to be able to study and learn from your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit be the one who speaks to all of us and through all of us. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As Tom was mentioning, we are right now in this season of Lent. And while... Lord, I'm here. I'm trying to behave. Okay. So one of the things we're learning through Lent is that we come to this place and time when we feel we need to be vulnerable, and sometimes it's even a little bit uncomfortable to be there. But one of the things that also we are learning is perhaps we need to refocus how we think about this time of Lent. It's also that season when we can remember and experience the fact that God wants to bring us back to him. As we call this sermon series, is return to me with all your heart. And we find God intentionally doing specific actions to bring us back to him. The first one we learned 2 weeks ago is actually the word remember. And we learn how this word has a deeper meaning in the Bible. It's not just about having in memory all those things that I need to do, like a list, but it's also about knowing that I have a covenant with God, and together in that covenant, action happens. It's to remember that through the power of God, there is always a consequence of a good action happening. How many of us have been able to say, you know, God has pushed me on places I never even thought that I could be? Have you been there? And then you say, really, God? I mean, I can do this. And you're right, you can do that. But when God reminds you that you are in that covenant, then you can see how he empowers you to new places. So that's the first thing. The next thing we learned last week was about the example. We are called to be an example. A typo is exactly the word that it says. Now, how can we do that? It sounds almost overwhelming to us. But we remember that the reason how we can be called an example is because it's a consequence of that connection with God. God empowers you to do that. How does he do that? By this section, by forget what was in the past. And then it says, strain forward, go toward is the future. Press on what God is asking you to do, because you are called to do something that is not just for this time, but also on eternal consequences. We are part of the kingdom of God. So this is what we have learned. And today we're talking about one of the really cool guys from the Bible, Isaiah. How many of you have read from Isaiah? One of the prophets of the Bible. I will say he is the nerd of the Old Testament. Book. The guy is total nerd in their Bible. Many times when a good way to start this book is that it come to God, how we need to deal with our life. And then another section is about hope and the hope that we have in the future. Now, how many books are in the Bible? Do you remember? 66. How many are in the Old Testament? Okay, I'm going to tell you a way to remember. What's the Trinity is 3, right? 3 by 3? 9. So 39 are in the Old Testament. And then 3 by 9, 27. 27 are in the New Testament. So that makes it 66. You know? All right. You learned something today. Are you happy? Okay. So what we see is in Isaiah, that is 66 chapters, the first 39 are talking about that need to come to God. And then the last 27 chapters is talking about the hope that comes as a life as a Christian. And I'm kind of surprised, guys, that you didn't remember. That sermon I preached 4 years ago. and I expect you to remember everything that I say, you know? But also with Isaiah, a little bit of background is we remember that he was serving for the southern kingdom. So what he was trying to tell to the people in that area was, as you can see what's happening with the kingdom of the north, Assyria is coming and he's taking them on exile. We don't want to get there, guys. So watch out, because if we don't come back to the Lord God, we are kind of doing this thing, good, going around and concentrating, connecting with God. That was mainly his call. And I remember that I preached to you connected with a clean house. How many of you know this program? I love it. It's not anymore in TV, but I actually love the clean house, and I love that lady. And I could almost see how Isaiah is divided in the same way that they did the clean house. They do the declutter, right? It's like when you come and you need to deal with your house and confront the reality that is a mess. I confess, every time I watch the program, I went and I start checking in my house. I just get like very paranoid about it. But then after they declutter, they do what? Redesign, and they do these amazing new designs in the house and put this beautiful furniture. And then it comes the reveal day, the day when they're going to show it to the owners, how beautiful their home is. That's kind of what he's telling us on Isaiah. There is a time when we need to deal with the declutter in our lives. Then we come and accept that redesign that God is doing for us, and the reveal day is to know that we have that eternal life with the Lord, and we are part of that kingdom of God. But the scripture of today is almost like a mini version even of the whole thing, with one specific point, and it is the word repentance. Now, when we say the word repentance, what do you think? Isn't it sometimes like you feel this difficult thing where you're going to need to be very bold and confess all your sins, and it's a time of a lot of sadness and sorrow? Don't we think about that? But when you read exactly what the scripture is telling you about repentance, first of all, it's more than just one feeling or emotion. It's actually a process. And when you read it, I think like what Tom, I'm being prophetic. Scripture. What Tom White is talking about is actual steps: redirect, return, revalue, and reimagining. Very important in this. So what's redirect? The first section of what we read, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. What he's talking in this section is be aware of where you are. Be open to understand that there is a need of change. Guys, in other words, it's when God is coming and nicely he's sitting with you and telling, God tells you, come to my office. Let's just confront you that there are certain things in your life we need to deal with. Have you been there? And usually that confrontation is, you know, in your house, in your spiritual house, in your heart, you have what some families I have mentioned before in another parts of the world, they have a room or a closet or sometimes the garage where you just put everything that you don't want to see. I know nobody in this worship service knows what I'm talking about, right? Nobody except me, because as you know, I need to deal with the instruments of Abel, so I need to find one place just to put everything in there. But you don't know what I'm talking about. So let me explain you the families who do that. What happens is they have something they don't know what to do with that, or like a little drawer in the careful. And you say, I'll deal with the dog next week, and you close the door. And you forgot you left the dog over there, right? So what happens is that little drawer becomes a little box, and then becomes a closet, then becomes a room, then it's a garage, then it's a renting unit that you need to find somewhere. It doesn't happen in Texas. I know. I'm explaining. This is just imaginary. But what happened is, with all of that situation, there is a point in our heart that we do the same. You keep that saying, you know, God, I know I need to deal with that. But, you know, I am for stress today. I can deal with that. We deal with that later. Yeah, I got it. I know I need to forgive that person. You Spanish and in English. I got it. But I'll deal with that later. And we keep doing that. And there is a point when that's getting on the way. Isaiah is telling that to the people of God. He's saying, you guys, you keep just pushing those things away. You keep saying that you want to try other gods, that, yeah, you will come back to God later. But there is a point when it's going to be impossible to bring you back because you are so far away. So what they are telling us here is you need to come back to God. You need to realize you have a place in your heart, in your life, that you haven't dealt with, and it's shaping who you are. It's hurting you. Do you get that? God wants you to deal with that closet or garage because it's hurting you. If you have that in your life, it's not allowing you to grow. You're carrying that extra box and it's in the way. So how is it that God wants us to deal with this? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take what? Captive. What do we take captive? Every thought to make it what? Obedient to Christ. We take it captive. So what does that mean? It means that when God is calling you to deal with something, when God is asking you to bring something, and before you even try to negotiate with God, because let me tell you, I have tried it and it's never a good idea. It's a waste of time. But when you say, okay, God, you are bringing this to my memory. You are reminding me that I need to deal with this. Lord, I'm bringing this thought before you. Tell me, how do I deal with that? You see, that's why, that's the other scripture in Ephesians, when they are talking about the armor of God, we talk about the helmet of what? Salvation. The helmet of salvation. Why? Because when you put that in your head, in your mind, salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, when you remember and you are conscious about the fact that you are a child of God, think about that. You wear it, and then you go and open that closet of God, then you take the first thing and you say, is this something that is helping God as a child of God, or is it in the way? What should I do with it? Throw it. Do not send it to the church. Because we have some people who says, I don't need it. Maybe the church. No, we don't need that. Don't bring it. Throw it. You know, but again, how can I discern? Many people ask me that question. How can I discern? And the only way is when you say, as a child of God, is that going to help me to grow as a child of God? That, or is it going to push me down? One thing is return. And as I was telling with the children, sometimes, and for the longest time, I thought returning was like, I'm walking in this direction, then I return to this direction. But if I'm already in a bad way or in a bad location, then I'm just going to go back to the same bad location. The scripture is not talking about that kind of return. It's actually this word that says, let them turn to the Lord. In Hebrew, is shuv. And what it means more is you're going to turn, but not to where you were coming from, but you're going to the light. You're going to God. Maybe one of the best places where you can find this description is in the first letter of John 1:7, that it says, but if we walk where? In the light, as he is in the light, and I love this section, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it is when we are walking not toward where we were, but we work toward the light. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So we are called to walk toward him. That's what it says. We have a what? Fellowship with one another. That's why it's very important that we come to church, guys. Because it's kind of what I showed you one time with Alexandria. When you are walking with another person, and we're both walking toward the light, but if one of us gets a little bit distracted and decides to want to have a tour, the group pushes you back to the right place. So the church helps us in that way. It's like when you see your brother and sister, okay, they are growing, they are guiding, they are getting toward the light, and if you feel you're kind of getting away, that helps you to come back to them. It pushes all together. So that's why we need the fellowship of the Christians. And then it says specifically, how do we clean ourselves? Because we are, through the Lord Jesus Christ, capable to be part of this group. He cleans us. This is where the cleaning of the forgiveness and the repentance come. When you realize, to be part of this group, I need to get rid of this bag that I'm carrying. I need to deal with that. I need to come and say, no, I don't want to carry this box anymore, just of addiction. I don't want to carry that. You know, I'm sorry about this. I'm just going to let this go. And I walk where? Toward her. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third one is to revalue. And I like this a lot. It's the value that we have in Christ. And how do I maintain that value? And that's where the scripture says, and he will have mercy on our lives and to our God, for we have received that freely pardon. You know that this word pardon is super awesome in the scripture? I didn't realize how great it is, but let me show you what's pardon. I'm going to show it to you. That's the word pardon. Pardon actually comes from three letters. And the letter, one of them means that it's like a fence. The other word means a shepherd. And the last word means a fence that protects you. That's pardon. So when you are pardoned, you are in that place. You are like the sheep, and the shepherd has you inside of that place protecting you. Isn't that great? I never thought about that. So when you are pardoned, you're in a place where you are safe, where forgiveness has happened. Let me show you the real thing here. So you see, the shepherd will stand up at the door, and he will be there controlling who comes in or who comes out to protect those sheep. What I love about that too is that sometimes we have the misunderstanding that Christianity, by confronting us with sin, is kind of a legalistic religion. This is the best way to excuse you, but it's going to give you freedom. Because look at them. Those sheep over there, while it seems like they are just constrained, they're actually free. They can move around that place. They can grow. They can become chubby and happy. And they can go singing be everywhere with no problem. That's Mexican be, by the way. But they are just chilling. They are loving of life in there. Because they are there in that section. But it's a big pen when one of them tries to get, and so they are thriving in life in that big space. For that size, it's a big space. So that's what the Lord is offering to all of us in pardon. What he's saying is that stop going around in circles hurting yourself. Stop letting other people hurting you. I am your shepherd. I am your door. I want to put you in a safe place so you can thrive in life. That's the God that you and I have. A God who's willing to take you in so he can see you thriving and connecting with him and enjoying life. And his best desire is to be your shepherd there protecting you. That's pardon. So when you think about forgiveness in that way, I run to forgiveness. I run to receive that pardon and say, God, I need that. I need to be inside of that place that protects me from what I see and what I cannot see. But by you being that shepherd, I'm in the right place. And the last thing is also what he says is, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. How many of us have experienced that? That you have said, God, I have planned it, everything is fine, and here he comes and changes everything and puts you in a level that you never even dream about it. But you see, what he's doing is something about that re-image. Let me show you this. I need all of you guys who are nerds on computers. I found this word. It's pretty cool. A re-image is necessary if your operating system becomes damaged or corrupted. Computer people, is that right or not? Yes, yes, okay. Then it says, you may also need to re-image if your system is plagued with spyware problems. Correct, Mitzi? How many of us just felt that was my life? That's my description. I have been corrupted, damaged, and I have a spyware problem. Amen? How many of us were there? So, What's your solution? We need to, how you pronounce it? Reimage. You need to reimage computer. And when we are able to say it becomes functional again, and we can use it again, that's where we are. Many of us can say to God, God, I have a glitch. You know, I walk in my spiritual life with a glitch. So what can I do with that? I bring my life to you asking that God that reimage. And this is when scripture that we just read talks about. I've given, it is God coming and saying, you are given up on that to the person that you have heard you are, and because you are talking through that glitch. What I'm telling you is that you don't need to live in that life. What I'm telling you is what God is saying. You know, you need to learn to live thinking that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They are bigger than that. So the question that we have today is this. Where are you in this process of repentance? Where are you? Maybe today you needed to wear the helmet of salvation. Maybe today you need to remember that you are a child of God. Therefore, you need to evaluate. What are you still carrying in your life that you shouldn't have? What do you need to say, God, I bring this to you because it's getting on the way. Maybe today you need to also remember that God is that light that you can follow. He's calling you to follow him with a group of Christians. Or maybe today you need to remember that he is that shepherd who pardons you, who puts you inside of that safe place. You have wandered around too much. Stop planning as if you keep that glitch. Start enjoying a life that goes beyond you can imagine in his hands. So I invite you where you are, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to come to the altar, if you want to stand up, whatever connects you easier with God, do it right now. And where you are, tell the Lord, where are you in repentance? Where do you need his holy hand to guide you to grow? Lord, we're coming to your presence, and we're coming with a desire of experiencing repentance. And perhaps the place where we sense we need to grow is just to put a helmet of salvation, God, and forgive us because we keep going in life thinking we have it all figured out. And we forget, God, that you tell us to protect our head, to protect our thoughts. Allow us to think knowing that you are that God who's reminding us who we are as strong, so we don't get distracted, but we help each other to grow. And Lord, you know how many of us have been wandering around, and today you're calling us back home. And you are that shepherd that is carrying us when we're feeling broken. And you're healing us, and you're putting us in a place where we will thrive. And Lord, today we also confess that maybe we have a glitch, given up, and we have hearing God that try to live a life re-image. You want us not to walk in our ways, but your ways. Not according to our limited thoughts, but according to your powerful thoughts. And we receive that call, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand up together.